Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton. John Osher. Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. I'm Brian Sexton along with John Osher and Ashlyn Sullivan, and we're here for the next half hour. I will tell you, John, that as I drove over that bridge on my way out of the stadium and back to the beach last night, I was bummed out. We had spent so much time talking about the atmosphere at Everbank Field, what it had been like and what we were anticipating it would be like, that the performance by the football team, well, left me bummed out.
Yeah, and then you look out in the fourth quarter, and of course at the end of a game like that, the stands are empty, and it's not what you anticipated the day being. You anticipated the day being one of those days in the afternoon when, you know, the winds are blowing off the St. John's and the crowd's going crazy, and that's what it could have been, should have been. But this offense right now has some major issues, especially, you know, to go 101 football real early, especially when they get behind the chains, when they have penalties like they did. I thought Doug Marrone put it absolutely great in the press conference. Yeah, they had five drives over a six-drive stretch where they were staring at first or second and 19 and 20. And there's a lot of numbers, Brian.
Yeah.
But a second and 19, it ain't good for this team.
Well, because the overriding theme from yesterday's game to me is there is no margin for error.
Right.
They have a formula that works for them. They've got to execute it to near perfection.
Yep.
If that's possible, and getting in long down and distance situations and forcing Blake Bortles to throw the ball down the field without Allen Robinson is not part of the equation.
Well, long down and distance is the mantra that every offense in the league, every meeting, doesn't want to get into. I covered the Colts for 10 years when Peyton Manning was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. They talked about second manageable and third manageable all the time. So no offense wants to do it. This offense without Allen Robinson really can't do it.
All right, Jaguars head to London this week to get ready for week three. But before we get to that conversation, it's time to get to the big things from week two. Hello, Ashlyn Sullivan.
Hello, how's it going?
It's good. You're also known as the third member of this team, but probably people that know you would say you're first, and John and I are second and third.
I don't know about that. Let's not get too crazy like that.
Well, it's nice to see that you're not too high or too low after this. So let's get to the first big thing on your list.
So the first big thing today is that the Jaguars are sadly fighting a kind of familiar tune. Now, with the penalties and the turnovers yesterday in the post-game press conference, Doug Marrone says that out of the three, two were not Blake's fault. Now, I think regardless of whose fault it is, it has to be fixed. And no matter whose fault it is, it's really no one to blame. You just got to get it figured out before this game on Sunday.
Yeah, penalties and turnovers. We talked about them last year, John. Let me just go right to the one that stands out the most. So the Jaguars get the ball back, and they've got it first and 10 at the Tennessee 48-yard line, right? And a short pass to Chris Ivory picks up just 2 yards, but you had the penalty on Mercedes Lewis for the illegal use of hands. All of a sudden, it became first and 20 at the Jaguars 42, second and 16 at the 46, right? One of the right. long situations. And that set up.
Is this the first turnover?
This is the first turnover.
Okay, gotcha.
Because you're now in second and 16 instead of, you know, second and six, all of a sudden he's back to throw. Cam Robinson loses track of Brian Arapco. There's the first turnover.
Right.
That's when I went, I've seen this before.
Well, you've known me how long? 20 years?
23.
I'm right a lot, right?
I mean,
that's kind of my thing. on first and 20 in that situation, I tweeted out, first and 20, not a good situation for that. You know, this is not what this team does. And sure enough, two plays later, they're going the other way. I didn't expect the wheels to come off at that point. I thought as big a situation was after that. Telvin Smith gets the interception, and you feel like this is going to be a benchmark moment for this defense.
You
face adversity, and you've come back to it. And then you go back down the field.
First and 10 at the Titans, 27-yard line.
And then you have two penalties on the same play. You're back at the 42. And as Doug said in the press conference, that took points off the board. Well, this team ain't going to score enough points to take points off the board. All of a sudden, they turn the ball over. You're 6-3 the other way. I'm not saying if you'd have been up 6-3 at the half, they'd have been a different game in the second half. But the way this team plays, you can't discount having leads, situational football after that, being in games, they can't give up points.
You know, on that interception, that was the one where I remember thinking the Titans know how to play him.
Yep.
They know to get their hands up, to jump and bat balls. Get it tipping end over end, which is what seems to be the classic Blake Bortles interception, is
right.
A ball that is just hanging in the air waiting for someone to come and get it.
And for some reason, I mean, I've been as critical of Blake in terms of decision-making, in terms of pocket presence as anybody, but there is some bad luck with the guy. It seems like every chance there is for an interception becomes one. A lot of quarterbacks, that ball goes down on the ground. With him, somehow it turns into a pick.
You know, early on, he was making some good throws.
Mm-hmm.
He stood in the pocket and he delivered a big throw on the opening drive to convert to Marquise Lee for a first down. I thought he was sharp in many respects. And yet, those couple of plays have everybody this morning going, oh, here's the same old Blake Bortles. And in some respect, I get it. Here's, though, where I thought the game got away. Right after that, Titans start driving down. They've got momentum. And then they get two penalties. And they go back, and I'm thinking, well, they're now out of field goal range. But Mariota
has the big play, about 25 yards in the middle of the field.
Set up the 6-3. You know, from that point forward, I felt in the third quarter at some point, and you were here that day, so you'll remember, like I was watching the AFC title game against the Titans.
Yeah, you're playing uphill.
Yeah. In the third quarter, the wheels fell off early, and they found themselves in a hole.
Doug was asked in the post game by David Lamb, did you ever consider switching quarterbacks? And he said, for what reason? Why? And I get where fans see, well, because he's playing awful. I also get where the coaching staff in that situation, I don't know if you could pull Blake in that situation with two tip balls and a sack fumble that was really on him too quick. I know it all the time, Blake Bortles doesn't protect the ball well enough in the pocket sometimes. That sack fumble wasn't that. That was on him too quick. I'm not sure any quarterback could have maintained possession on that hit. So he's got to be better. I don't think that one necessarily, the turnovers, were as much his fault as they have been in the past.
All right, back to Ashlyn for our second big thing, and it involves the quarterback, Ashlyn.
Yep, we're just adding on to this Blake Bortles train this morning. But we talked on Friday about how he had to show up and he had to produce, and frankly, he didn't yesterday. So now I'm asking you guys, what is the solution here? Going forward this week, what does he do to change the outcome on Sunday? Because I saw on SportsCenter this morning that the Baltimore Ravens have had 8 interceptions going into week 3 of the regular season.
Yeah, so the whole make Blake, where teams are going to stack the line of scrimmage to stop the run and make Blake Bortles beat him.
He's going to get made.
It isn't going away.
Not in a good way.
It isn't going away. So who or how can they get this thing to a point where it's moving the chains?
Well, I don't know that you're going to necessarily see a sea change in terms of the approach with a quarterback, because this team has said, we're going to run. We're going to try to put him in good down and distance. I think the biggest thing they can do to help him is to continue to run. They ran well for the first quarter and a half yesterday, but what you're going to hear from them, I don't know if this will work or not, but what you're going to hear is, we can't get behind the chains. We cannot be in 2nd and 15. We cannot be in 3rd and 18. I don't know if that's the change. It's going to be a quarterback change. So that's their solution. That's what they've got to do. They have to put him in better situations, because I don't think they're going to put him in a situation where, I don't think you're going to see this become a down-the-field offense. I don't think even when you're facing 2nd and 6 that you're going to see a whole lot of throws down the field, because he hasn't shown he can do it, and I don't think they're going to have him do it. I think they want to run.
From the hoop perspective, there's one guy, though, I think they can get involved and they need to get involved, and that's the tight end O'Shaughnessy, because he seems to be a good enough athlete, caught a tough pass in Houston, and quite honestly, Mercedes Lewis dropped 2 catchable balls yesterday that would have been first downs, and one of them would have been a crucial first down when the game was still in hand. The tight ends are going to be open, and I think you've got to find someone who can catch the ball and get up the field.
Agreed.
All right. So we have reached our first stopping point here on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. When we come back, hear from the head coach about his philosophy from yesterday going forward into the week.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Everything you've got. Let's go!
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
This is Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio, Mondays and Fridays, 8:30, also on Twitter. Beautiful morning in Jacksonville. People waking up not so happy after the outcome. 37-16 will do that to you. Time now for our third big thing here in Ashland Sullivan. It is a big one for a lot of Jags fans this morning. We're talking about whether reality has set in, and it certainly has set in for the Jaguars this week.
Well, I got a lot of questions along the lines of reality. Okay, back to reality. Back to this. This is a reality for the Jaguars. Part of their reality is they're not going to be a great come-from-behind team. I'm not sure they can come from 10 points back this year because I'm not sure the passing offense can function. And the offensive line, I don't know if it can hold up to a constant pin-the-ears-back pass rush. But what it can be, it's not like they're not the team to beat the Texans. It's not like if they get a lead and can play with it and know that they can rush the passer against offensive lines that aren't part of the league's best, and the Titans are one of the five or six best offensive lines in the league, there's a formula there where they can win. The issue is, I think we knew this in the preseason, this is not a diverse team yet. This is not a team that's going to win four or five different ways. It's got one way it knows it can win. It's got to run the ball. It's got to be ahead. It has to be able to pin the ears back on defense, and it needs defensive touchdowns and points. Those are hard to get when you're behind. If you're ahead, you can get those things. If you're even, you can get those things. This team needs to stay even.
All right, Ashland Sullivan, now we bring you in. I've already given what our third big thing is, so how about a little analysis from you?
Well, I know that consistent teams win games, and to be consistent, you kind of have to have an even playing field, correct? And Doug Marone talks about how yesterday he rides the highs and he rides the lows. But my question to you guys is, do the players do that as well?
Well, I think they feed off the coaches. And I think players generally, if you cover the league long enough, you realize that the players have a routine during the week. The game affects them on Sunday and Monday. And really, by the time they get back on Wednesday, you've been in a lot of locker room. You know, I've rarely been around a team that by Wednesday, when they're talking to the media at noon, haven't put the loss behind them and believe they're going to win. And that's if it's a 2-13 team playing a 15-0 team. The confidence these guys have, by Wednesday, the last loss is behind them. So I think with Doug Marone setting the tone with an even keel, I think this will be an even keel team. I think it'll be fine on that front. And I don't think it'll let losses like that bother him because most teams don't.
So I'm running around in postgame, and I'm not in Doug's postgame press conference. I'm in the locker room, and I told you I was bummed out going over the Hart Bridge on the way home yesterday.
But
the
time you should have called me.
Yeah, you probably would have burnt me up a little bit. Right. But then I turned on Doug and listened to his postgame, and I thought, okay, by Wednesday this team will be fine, and here's why. Listen for yourself.
So at the end of the day, just like I said before, you know, after the first week, I wasn't too high. This week, I'm not too low. I've got to do a better job, you know, making sure, you know, the penalties, not putting us in those, you know, poor situations. And then, you know, obviously at the end, I talked to the team about, you know, obviously that's frustration and those things need to be pointed to things that are going to make us better and get ready to play the next play.
So you're talking about a guy who last week, after 10 sacks and 4 takeaways, was not jumping around during the media this week, you know, that last week. And this week, I don't expect him to be, you know, hanging his head or acting as if, you know, the sky has fallen a week after the sky was unbelievably bright and clear.
Well, and that's his MO. He's going to be even keel. And that's the way you have to do it in this league because all of a sudden on Wednesday, whether you won or lost, you have to come back and play another game. I think more than that for this team, I think the fact that it knows it does have a formula to win, the defense knows it can play well. The defense, I thought, played well for 2.5 quarters yesterday. And then I thought, frankly, there was a little bit of a letdown because it got to a double-digit lead. And I think there is a feeling on this team, I'm sure the players can feel it, that double digits are going to be tough to make up for. But before that, they did play to their formula. They ran okay. I think they can still believe in Fournette. When they turn the film on, they'll be able to see things they did defensively. They'll be able to see Leonard Fournette. And they'll know, hey, we're in trouble if we get behind, but there's still stuff we can build on. So I expect even keel.
You know, candidly, last week people were talking about Calais Campbell, the player and the leader in the locker room, talking about what he had done to get that group playing at a high level. I'm interested to hear him this week. I don't expect him to change, but I'm interested to see this week. This is when you pay for the leadership, when things aren't good.
Well, speaking to him after the game, this is a guy who's been doing it 10 years. And he's been in the playoffs. And if you've been on playoff teams, unless you're on rare playoff teams, you've been on playoff teams that have lost games in the regular season. And you've probably been on playoff teams that have lost big in the regular season. And these guys basically know that within the context of a game, they can look at that game yesterday and realize that it was 9-3 at one point in the third quarter and that they hadn't played well to that point. And they can see scenarios where they've won games like that in the past. And I'm sure that'll be Calais' message. And his message on Sunday was very calm and very, look, you have bad games. You have games where the wheels go off. But it doesn't mean the wheels go off at the season.
And in about 30 minutes on Jaguars.com, you can see Mic'd Up with Calais Campbell. Calais. I was thinking about Malik. Calais was mic'd up for the game yesterday and had some great thoughts. And so you'll have a chance to see that coming up a little after 9 o'clock this morning on Jaguars.com. We'll take a break and come back. More of Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio on a Monday morning following a Jaguars loss. We're back after this.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go!
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit Jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Pushing forward to a Monday morning here on Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jags Drive Time every Monday and Friday morning here on TuneIn Radio on the Jaguars 24/7 channel plus on Twitter. And we'll have it posted on Jaguars.com a little bit later in the morning. Time to bring in Ashlyn Sullivan now. We were talking about Calais Campbell, mic'd up. That'll be up on the site shortly. On home Sundays, you're behind the bench a lot working with Max Hockman and the mic'd up crew. What did you see from Calais yesterday?
So fourth quarter, I mean, down in the dumps, everyone, I mean, us included, no one expected it to be as bad of a loss as it was. But what impressed me so much was Calais Campbell started on the left side of the bench, went all the way down to the right side, and whoever he ran into, he had a personal conversation with them about how this team needs to step up. They need to be positive. I mean, it took him probably 15 minutes to go down the entire bench, and he took the time to talk to every single player and bring their hopes up, which I thought was incredible and incredible leadership for that team. Now, going on to Ozone, not as positive this Monday morning, as you can imagine. We have Morgan from Jacksonville. Why did so many people get their hopes up? Saxonville, come on. Not even close yet. We're 5 years away from even trying to contend.
Come on.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Come on, Morgan. Be better than that.
Down in the dumps. And
obviously, they're not 5 years. Right now, frankly, they're big-time quarterback play away. They don't have that. And That's what you noted yesterday. This game yesterday wasn't on the quarterback, so to speak. The turnovers weren't on the quarterback. But there is an element, the fact that you don't throw the ball downfield and that the passing offense, be it the absence of Allen Robinson, whatever it is, that you don't have the faith in the passing offense to make plays down the field, it is tough to be consistent and to have multiple ways to win in this league if you don't have that.
I wrote in Quick Thoughts that the difference between the Titans, who are clearly the best team in the AFC South, and the Jaguars, who are second or third, depending on where the Texans fall or how the Colts resurrect their season, was Mariota. Mm-hmm. I mean, their quarterback play was outstanding yesterday. His presence in the pocket, his feel for the game, and it helps that he's got those two great tackles. Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin are as good as you'll find a tandem in the NFL because they shut down the outside pass rush.
Right.
And allowed the Titans to do things schematically up front to slow down the middle.
Well, and it's big momentum-changing plays, too. And I'm drawing a blank on who he hit, but the pass down the left side.
To Taylor.
I believe it was 9-3 or 16-3 at the time.
Yeah, to Taylor, but, number 13.
Right. It opened things up. It was a play that they're at midfield. If they don't get that play, they're probably punting. It's going back to the Jaguars. But they make the big play. It leads to an easy touchdown. That's the kind of play, frankly, that right now this Jaguars offense is not getting.
All right. Ashlyn, what else you got from Ozone Snapshot on a Monday morning?
We have a statement here, but I have a feeling we'll be able to elaborate on it pretty well. TJ from Orlando. Playing from behind is going to be pretty rough this season.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty succinct and pretty to the point. I think that's the issue right now that you wonder if they can do. When that game got to 9-3 yesterday, you thought to yourself, they better get a score. They better get this back to at least a three-point game, because if this gets to double digits, it's frankly right now really tough to see them coming back from a double-digit deficit, because once a team playing them has a double-digit lead, I don't know why you would put your offense in a situation to get a turnover to let the Jaguars' defense get back to it. They will play safe knowing that if we play safe, the odds are that this offense cannot score enough to get by us. That's scary because teams score points in this league. So I don't know if we'll see them erase a double-digit deficit this season.
You know, an area that we haven't touched on yet is special teams. And that long return by Adoree Jackson, who we knew was a threat, that really hurt. That was reminiscent of last season where field position got flipped. If you're going to play defense,
I think they scored like two plays later.
They did.
And that to me, Brian, was when it felt like the defense just sort of went,
yeah.
Go ahead.
If you're going to flip the script, in other words, the Jaguars have got to play defense and be able to run the ball, you've got to own field position.
Right.
And players in the locker room yesterday kept talking, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, that it's a field position league. And the field position was against them in that third quarter. It just, they couldn't get out of their own way.
When you have players after the games talking about, we didn't have field position and we were at negative down and distance, the score is rarely good in your favor.
All Access tonight, CBS 47. Telvin Smith joins Calais Campbell. One of the topics will undoubtedly be London. Short week. You know, last week was sort of a compressed week, obviously. They got work done on Monday, traveled on Tuesday. We're here after the Houston thing. And this week, London Thursday. Mm-hmm. Now, they know how to do it. Most of these guys know how to do it. The front office, the travel people, they know how to do it. But it's a challenge to go to London now and try to shake this off. It might be the best challenge for them, though, to get out of here and to go back over there.
This is what? Year five or year six?
It's the fifth year.
Okay, I've lost track. This should be an advantage for this team by now. I know Shad Khan believes at some point it should be an advantage. You're playing at home. You've done it over and over again. It has felt the last 2 years to me when they've won, and not just because they won, but the crowd is starting to sort of embrace the Jaguars in that game. You felt them behind the Jaguars against the Colts and against the Bills. So I think it's an advantage, and I do think I felt last year for the first time like the players understood the routine and that they really didn't see it as an inconvenience in any way to go it was part of their regular year and part of their routine. I don't anticipate international travel being a negative issue for the Jaguars.
Should be a benefit against a team that's not done it. The Ravens have never played internationally, and so you get them over there. One last thought. You're in a three-way tie for first place. Yeah, losing stinks. I remember a couple years ago, the Patriots got blown out in Kansas City on a Monday night, 41-17, and people started talking about the demise of Tom Brady.
He was done. He was done, right.
And they won the Super Bowl, and they've won another one since.
Yes.
So people forget those victories unless they propel you forward. So we'll see what this does. But 1-1, first place tie in the AFC South. You're not in first place all by yourself, like a lot of people hope they would be, but you're still in great shape. Go play well.
This team was not going to get through the season without some bad losses. They had a bad loss yesterday. This is still a schedule that shapes up where you should be able to play well against it. And for this team especially, the mark of this season won't be if they lose a few games like this. It'll be if they can avoid doing it in consecutive weeks.
All right, well, we're with the Jaguars all week. Obviously, players are in today, Wednesday, Thursday. We're on the road with them on the way to London, and we'll be there all the way. So stay with us. Jags Drive Time returns next Monday because we'll just be landing on Friday in London. But we'll give you a look at it when we return from London and where the Jaguars are at. For Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe Fortunato, Patrick Cavanaugh, John Osier, I'm Brian Sexton. Thanks for joining us on Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio.